Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure, truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. This week we will visit the Hall of Fantasy, a place where dark and supernatural forces take hold of our protagonists' lives. The series premiered in Salt Lake City in 1946 and lasted just a year and a half. The stories were minimalistic murder mysteries during this first run of the show. Later, in 1949, the show was revived and took on a more supernatural shift. From that era of otherworldly tales, I share with you The Shadow People, followed by The Dance of the Devil Dolls. Enjoy.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Shadow People.
Elaine, have you seen anything else since you spoke to me last?
No, I haven't. Ever since Mother died, nothing's happened.
Well, I only hope...
It
came from upstairs. Come on.
You don't...
I don't know what to think. I only hope it...
David, if anything's happened to him...
We'll see in a moment.
There's no light in this room.
You wait here, Elaine. Where's the light?
Over to your left. David, what's wrong? Why didn't you leave the light on?
Your father's dead, Elaine.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Shadow People. And now for our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Shadow People.
Somewhere along the line of your life, you've met them. You have come in contact with the Shadow People. When did we first discuss it? Oh, yes, Brian and Elaine and I. It was in my apartment. There was only one light on in the entire place. What's wrong? Elaine, what's the matter?
Oh, it's silly, I know, but I thought I saw something in that doorway over there.
Where?
Over there, right over there. Where are you going, David?
Over to that archway, just to let you know that nothing's here.
You see, Elaine, nothing's wrong, nothing at all.
Are you satisfied that there's no one else here but us?
Yes, I'm sorry, I just thought that I... Leave the overhead lights on.
I'm sorry, I thought that...
Put them back on, David, please.
All right, Elaine.
Look, what's bothering you, sis?
I don't know, it's just that... I don't know.
Tell us about it, Elaine. Tell us what's bothering you.
You promise that you won't laugh at me?
Of course not.
Brian?
Oh, Elaine, I'm your brother. If something's troubling you, I'd like to know about it.
All right, then. The reason I was so upset was the fact that I saw someone or something standing in that archway.
But Elaine, David showed you that there was no one else in here. When the lights were put on, you saw for yourself that we were alone.
I'm not talking about something you can see in the light, Brian. I'm not talking about a human being.
Then what's it all about, Elaine?
In the darkness, I saw something that can't be seen in a lighted area. And I've seen it several times before.
You're sure you're not imagining this, Elaine?
Oh, I don't have that good an imagination, Brian.
How long have you seen this thing, Elaine?
Well, it started about 6 weeks ago. You were in Detroit on business, Brian. Mom and Dad were on vacation. I was in the house by myself. In the library. There was only one light on. I sat in the chair beneath it, reading. Several times I thought that something was watching me. I felt there was someone in the room with me, standing right in back of me. Every so often I'd glance back over my shoulder, but there seemed to be nothing there. And then I thought I heard someone whispering. I wasn't sure, but when I heard it again, I got up and I looked all over the house. Oh, I'm not easily frightened, you know that, but out in the hallway, it was almost entirely black. Luckily, I was near a light switch. I looked back over my shoulder, and I saw this huge, hulking shape for the first time. And I heard a voice, or rather the whisper of a voice. I couldn't distinguish the words, but that dark shape seemed to be moving towards me. My hand was on the light switch, and I turned it on. And the minute the light flooded the hallway, the shape was gone. There was nothing there. I was alone again. As long as there's light, I know it can't hurt me. I know it can't reach me.
You might have imagined it, you know.
Of course, that's possible, but I'm sure I didn't. It was so real. So real, that shape in the darkness. It was the very essence of evil itself.
There was an old man I knew of, a Dr. Hesedius. I'd heard that he knew quite a good deal about the supposed supernatural manifestations which had taken place in the world. I went to him to see if he knew anything that might explain the events of the story Elaine had told us.
Yes, my good sir. What do you wish?
I have an appointment with Dr. Hesedius.
Oh, yes. If he mentioned something about it, you are Mr. Drake.
Yes.
If you'll come inside.
Thank you.
Dr. Hesedius is in the study. Please come with me. Doctor, a visitor for you.
Oh, yes. Bring him in. You may go now.
Yes, Doctor.
Mr. Drake?
Yes.
Sit down, please, in that chair over there.
Thank you, sir.
Now, what is the nature of your visit to me?
Well, I understand, Dr. Hesedius, that you have a great knowledge of the supernatural manifestations which have occurred on the earth.
Great knowledge, Mr. Drake? No, hardly that. I have only scratched the surface in my years of study. Perhaps I can help you, then again, perhaps I cannot.
Well, may I tell you a story?
By all means, my good sir.
All right. Now, this didn't happen to me, Doctor, but to my fiancée. It seems that about 6 weeks ago, when she was alone, but when the light was on, the dark form disappeared. And that's the story, sir. As much of it as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. I see. It's a strange tale to tell.
I'm fully aware of that, Dr. Hesedius.
You say she seemed to hear whispered voices?
Yes, that's what she says.
I see. A moment, please. I have a book in my file. Oh, yes, here it is. This is the one. Yes. Perhaps I may be able to help you after all. Let me see. This is a very ancient book, Mr. Drake. I seem to remember... Yes. Here is an account of a happening such as you relate. And we shall live on the earth, and they shall not see us.
Yes, it has been foretold by the ruler of the darkness. They who live by day, retire to sleep by night, shall never know that we walk with them, that we watch them, that we wait for our chance. Only in the night will they see us, for in the daylight we are not seen. Only in the night, when the darkness grows together and the forms of the shadow people are shaped from the blackness, they will know us.
They will know that we are their companions, for we are the shadow people. I knew I had read something similar to the story you have told me, Mr. Drake.
Dr. Hesedius, what can we do?
Well, give me a little time. Let me see if I can find any more references to these people of the darkness. One more thing, Mr. Drake. Be sure that your fiancée is never left alone at night. Be sure that there is some living thing, animal or human, which accompanies her every second of the night. For she is in danger, Mr. Drake. A terrible danger.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne, entitled The Shadow People.
That night, the night of the day I had seen Cecilia's, Elaine's mother died. She died in her sleep. When she failed to appear for breakfast, Elaine's father went upstairs to see what was wrong. When he entered her room, he discovered that she was dead. The family doctor couldn't explain it, for Elaine's mother had been in perfect health. A few weeks later, I was out of the house spending a weekend with them. I glanced at the clock on the mantel, and it showed 11.
I can't understand why Brian hasn't returned from town.
Well, he said he had some extra work to catch up on. He told me this morning that he might be late.
Well, 11 o'clock, I'm going upstairs. Glad you came out, David. Good seeing you again.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, don't stay up too late. See you both in the morning.
Night,
Dad. Good night, Mr. Davis.
He isn't the same, David. Ever since Mother died, he hasn't been the same.
I didn't realize it until tonight. He's changed.
I only hope that he'll start living again. Ever since she died, it seems that a part of him died with her.
Elaine, have you seen anything else since you spoke to me last?
No, I haven't. Ever since Mother died, nothing's happened.
Well, I only hope.
Sam!
Came from upstairs. Come on.
You don't think...
I don't know what to think. I only hope...
David, if anything's happened to him...
Oh, we'll see in a moment.
There's no light in this room.
You wait here, Elaine. Where's the light?
Over to your left. David, what's wrong? Why didn't you leave the light on?
Your father's dead, Elaine. I had walked into the darkened bedroom. On the bed was Elaine's father. It didn't take a second look for me to know that he was dead. I switched off the light and walked back into the hallway to tell Elaine what happened. And then from the room there had come an eerie, quiet laughter. In the darkness of that room was some unknown evil power. The voice itself was unearthly. There was no substance to it. It sounded as if it came from the darkness itself.
No. No, I don't believe you.
It's the truth, Elaine. There's nothing more I can do. We'll have to notify the police.
Tell me it's not the truth, David. Tell me it's not true.
I'm sorry, Elaine. I wish I could. The father's dead. After the burial, Dr. Hesselius got in touch with me. He said that he wanted to meet both Elaine and Brian, that he wanted to talk to the three of us. Accordingly, a few nights later, he came out to their house.
Mr. Davis, will you tell me just when you saw the first manifestation?
The night Brian was in Detroit.
Now, Mr. Davis, you have even seen this apparition in the company of other people, is that correct?
Yes. The night at David's apartment.
All right. Now I'll tell you what I think. You are in deadly danger, Miss Davis. These beings want to claim you. So far, they have had no success. Only in the darkness do they have power. Little by little, step by step, they have been removing the obstacles in their way to reaching you. First your mother, and then your father, Miss Davis. Both died in the same fashion. In the darkness, death struck at them. Now tell me, do you feel their presence here in this room as I talk to you?
Yes.
Turn out the lights, Brian.
No.
Stand by the switch, if you please, Brian. If anything happens, turn the lights back on.
All right.
Dr. Hesselius, I don't...
Do you want me to continue working with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Brian, turn off the lights.
Yes, doctor.
The room now is in darkness, Miss Davis. Do you feel or see anything?
No,
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you see anything?
Yes.
Doctor, I don't... Be quiet, you fool. I know what I'm doing.
In front of me. The darkness gathering together into a huge, terrible...
Not only do you see us, Miss Davis, but everyone else in the room also will see the vague shapes forming themselves in the blackness. We do not want you, Dr. Hesilius. The girl we want. We advise you to drop this case. You'll only bring down the wrath of the Shadow People upon your head. The girl. We want the girl. Do not stop us. Let us take her now.
Turn on the light! They're gone. Miss Davis, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Just as she said. The darkness. I saw it form into something, too.
So did I. What are we going to do, Dr. Hesilius?
At the present moment, I don't know. But this much I do know. You must leave this house immediately. You must try to get out of their reach. I don't know if that is possible. I hope it is. I shall have to return to my home. I must learn if there is some manner by which we can defeat these creatures. For the moment, leave this house. Dispose of it in any manner you may see fit. But leave this house.
Back now to our story, an original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Shadow People.
We had spent the night in my apartment, the three of us. The following day, Brian and Elaine made arrangements to dispose of the house. In the afternoon, Dr. Hesilius called me and asked that I come to see him.
David, I'm glad you're here.
Anything new, Doctor?
Yes and no. You realize, of course, that this spiritual manifestation is not new, that it has gone on for centuries.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
It's true, David. De Maupassant wrote what was supposedly a fiction story about the manifestation, David. He called it the Orla. However, according to the information here on my desk, it was taken from an actual case history. Of course, he embroidered the story, added a few touches to something he didn't realize actually existed.
But have you found anything with which we can fight them?
Everything depends upon an answer I received from a colleague of mine in Paris, Dr. Henri Renault. I dispatched a telegram to him last night.
Well, why hasn't he answered by now?
There are certain things that must be done. It will take a few days, I'm afraid. We have to wait, David. There's nothing else we can do.
In the next few days, the house was sold, and Brian and Elaine moved into a newer, more modern home a few miles from my apartment. Cecilia said it might take a few days for them to build up their power. I spent the night at the new house. The lights were left on, and I watched for any unusual occurrence. In the daytime, I'd return to my apartment and get some sleep. About 4 days after Elaine and Brian moved into the new house, I was at home when Hesilius phoned me. Hello?
David?
Yes, Dr. Hesilius?
I hate to tell you this, David.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
They were a step ahead of me, David. I just received word that Renault died or was killed. At the very moment I sent the telegram to him.
Step by step, they had outwitted us. For they had anticipated every move we'd make. Even Dr. Hesilius was at a loss as to what to do. He agreed to meet me at the Davis house.
What did you want to see us about, Dr. Hesilius?
Did you find out anything more?
I'm sorry to say that I haven't. At the moment, I'm at a complete loss. I don't know what to do.
But what did you want to see us about this evening?
Merely to check, to see if anything else has happened. Miss Davis, have you seen or heard anything?
Not in the house, only in my dreams.
Your dreams?
Yes. When I go to sleep at night, in my dreams, in the darkness, I see them.
And it's grown worse, much worse. I was hoping that it would not have progressed so far. There has been no disturbance in this house, but now they disturb your sleep, Miss Davis. Now, you must stay awake for as long as you can. I want the three of you to move into my house. Perhaps that will give you more protection. ¶¶
that night, we moved over to Vesuvius House. Perhaps Elaine would have more protection there. From there, we might be able to devise some plan of action, some way to beat those beings. For a few days, things were quiet. The shadow people seemed to have withdrawn. For a while, I thought that we might have succeeded in thwarting their purpose. Elaine no longer complained of troubled sleep. But that condition lasted for a few days only. About 10 days later, they made themselves known and felt again. That night, we were in the study, when suddenly Hesilius whirled around and...
Elaine, what are you looking at?
Outside the house. Right where the light leaves off, I see them.
She's right, Dr. Hesilius. I can see them, too.
What should we do, Doctor?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
There's nothing we can do.
We can't just...
We can't do anything, Brian. Don't you understand that they have us at their mercy? The greatest man in my field was Henri Renault. If he could do nothing against them, what do you think we can do?
He's right, Brian. There's nothing we can do.
As long as the house remains lighted, just so long will they remain outside. If the lights were to...
That sounds like...
The night father was killed. The same sound. We heard the same sound.
The lights! What's happened to the lights, all right?
Be
quiet, please.
I thought of this emergency.
A candle.
That's right, Miss Davis. As long as this burns, this one candle will be safe. For they cannot advance into the light. They are limited by the darkness. As long as the candle burns, they will have to remain outside of this room.
Around you, in every room of the house, in the darkness outside, we are around you. This time you shall not escape. This time we will claim you.
Take it easy, Brian. I can't stand it. I'm going after him.
Stay here.
We just can't let him
go. He won't have a chance. I doubt if he... Miss Davis, I'm afraid that your brother is dead.
The wind, Doctor. Listen to the wind.
I know.
Yes, Doctor. Listen to the wind. You must realize by now that the three of you haven't a chance. You must know in your minds that we can destroy you at any moment we desire. But, Dr. Hesilius, you may still save your own life. Let the others go. Give them to us.
No. No, you will have to take all of us.
Shall we destroy your light? Shall we move in on you now?
As you will. Do as you will.
Sorry, David. The candle is out.
In the darkness.
Characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden. Down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Dance of the Devil Dogs.
Hello? Anyone out here?
You don't think...
I don't know what to think, Chuck. We'd better take a good look around.
There's something strange about this whole setup. I don't know... Emery.
What?
Look.
It's him. Come on. No wonder he didn't answer us, Chuck.
You mean?
That's right. He's dead.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Dance of the Devil Dolls. And now for our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled... The Dance of the Devil Dolls.
Have you heard of avoutement? Literally, the word means face image. The practice of avoutement is as ancient as Egypt and Assyria, and still found from Ceylon to the United States, Europe to Africa, South America to Scandinavia. A figure is made to resemble that of a hated enemy, then methodically injured or destroyed, resulting in pain and death for its human counterpart.
Charles and I had gone up for a weekend of fishing. Saturday night at dusk, when the sky had dulled from blue to gray, and the gray was shading darker every minute, we were walking back up to the cabin.
Not a bad haul, huh, Emery?
For you, not for me. I'll bet you the smallest of those three bass weighs over 4 pounds. What bait were you using?
Oh, a spoon. The fish just wouldn't leave it alone. Anyway, we'll have a good fish dinner tonight.
And maybe tomorrow my luck will change.
Well, I hope so.
What time is it?
About 9. We've been out 5 hours.
Chuck.
Yeah?
There's someone coming down the trail towards us.
Where? Oh, yes, I see. You
can't be going down to fish this late.
Oh, you can't tell. Some guys really get the bug. There's a guy I know named Lloyd Erskine who will fish
Excuse
off...
Excuse me, gentlemen.
He means us.
Wonder what he wants.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I lost something. I wonder if you found it.
I don't know what you're looking for, mister, but we haven't found it, whatever it is.
Perhaps you saw it lying on the ground. It was a doll.
A doll?
Yes, about 12 inches tall. It looked something like me.
I'm sorry, we haven't seen it. Of course, you can always buy your daughter
It doesn't belong to my daughter.
Oh. Well, we haven't seen it.
Are you staying at a cabin on this lake?
Yes.
Only until tomorrow night.
It's right at the head of the trail up there. You must have passed it as you started down.
If by any chance you do come across it, I'll stop in before I leave this area, if you don't mind.
Well, that's perfectly all right.
Thank you, gentlemen. I must have the doll for the dance tonight, or the old woman will be angry.
Well, what do you make of that?
Search me.
He talked so strangely. I must have the doll for the dance tonight, or the old woman will be angry. I think he's off his rocker.
Well, it's not our worry, Emery. Come on, let's go.
We went back up to our cabin, cleaned the fish, and had one of those fish dinners you talk about for years. It was about 11 o'clock, and we'd started to go to bed, intending to get up as early as possible the next morning when there was a knock on the door.
I wonder who that is.
I don't know, but we'll soon find out. Oh, it's you.
Yes. May I come in?
Of course.
I see you found the doll.
Yes. I wanted to let you know that I had.
Well, thanks for telling us.
Now I must take him to the dance.
The dance ought to be just about over.
Oh, no, it hasn't begun yet.
You'd better get there or your wife will be angry.
You misunderstood me. I said the old woman, not my wife. You see, I'm not married.
Oh.
I hope you'll forgive me. I see that you're just about ready to retire, but I'm afraid.
Afraid? Of what?
The old woman is already angry with me. I told her I'd lost the doll, and she swore that if I didn't find it, she'd kill me. That's why I've come to you. If you hear that I'm dead tomorrow, that I committed suicide, you'll know it's not the truth. If I could only get in touch with Dr. George Kaltman, he could help, but I'm caught up in something I can't stop, and it's too late to get out now. I've tried, but... Oh, my head!
You dropped your doll.
I didn't drop it. She caused it to move. She doesn't want me to talk. I've said too much already. I must go now.
Here's your doll.
Thank you. Remember what I told you. If I'm dead tomorrow, it's murder. Good night, gentlemen.
After he dropped the doll. Did you get a good look at him, Chuck?
Yeah.
The doll hit the floor on its forehead. A few seconds later, there was a heavy bruise on the right side of his forehead.
You know, he said if he was found dead tomorrow, that it would be murder.
It was about 11:30 when we finally got to bed. We'd opened the windows of the cabin. The sound of the alarm clock we brought with us mingled with that of the crickets outside. I heard something. I didn't know what it was. It sounded strangely like words, but they were uttered in a voice so tiny and shrill that I thought I was imagining things. But then, I heard his voice.
No! No, I won't die! They will help me!
Emery,
I didn't know you were awake.
I couldn't sleep. I thought I heard a tiny little voice.
I thought
I... Be quiet!
Back now to our story, an original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Dance of the Devil Dolls.
Charles and I had retired for the night, but neither of us could sleep. Suddenly, from outside, we heard the voice of the man we'd met earlier, and another voice, high and shrill, and somehow deadly.
Going on out there?
We'd better take a look.
There's a pair of pants and some shoes, huh?
Remember what he said about dying?
Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Beginning to think that guy belongs in an institution.
Maybe. Maybe not. I think a scream came from the left.
We'll take a look over there, then. Didn't tell us his name, did he?
No.
Well, I'll try calling him. Anybody out here? Hello? Anyone out here? You don't think...
I don't know what to think, Chuck. We'd better take a good look around.
Something strange about this whole setup. I don't know it. Emery.
What? Look. It's him. Come on. No wonder he didn't answer us, Chuck.
You mean?
That's right. He's dead.
That little doll that looks so much like him. I don't see it anywhere around.
Neither do I. You know, Chuck, it sounds crazy to say it. That shrill, high little voice we heard...
You're letting this thing run wild with your imagination, Emery. Even though it looked like him, it's just a doll, nothing else.
It had to be my imagination, of that I was sure. But the mere thought of it, of the doll which so resembled the man with its shining face and beady little eyes, caused a strange sense of apprehension and fear to come across me. And I glanced out into the darkness and saw only the lumbering shadows of the trees and heard the rustle of their leaves as they brushed together. I saw nothing, Yet I had the feeling that something with beady little eyes was watching us. We notified the authorities. They came out, found no evidence of foul play, and diagnosed his death as being caused by heart failure. Our luck was exceptionally bad out on the lake Sunday, and we drove home that night, speaking but little, thinking only of what had happened the night before. About 10 days after we returned to the city, both Charles and I were home one evening. We shared an apartment together, and that night neither of us had anything to do. We were playing gin rummy.
One more hand like that and you'll be out, you lucky dog.
It was pure skill, my friend. No luck involved. Cut.
No, I trust you.
It's a good thing Pamela stood you up tonight.
She knew that you wanted a gin partner.
Don't be humorous. Proposed to her yet?
No, but I'm working on it. You know, you deal like a card shark. I have nothing but...
Expecting anyone?
No, you. Mm-mm. Well, I'll see who it is.
Whoever it is, get rid of him. I got a good hand.
Coming right up.
Is this the residence of Mr. Emery Ryerson and Mr. Charles Hunter?
Yes, it is, but...
I have a package for you.
Are you expecting a package, Emery?
Just bills, no packages.
It's for both of you.
All right, I'll take it.
Thank you. And good evening, sir.
Oh, yes, good evening. It's an old woman. She had a package for us.
Well, set it down on the table and open it, man. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
So I'll open it. It's wrapped very well.
Maybe it's a bottle of scotch.
Who is be sending us a bottle of...
Someone has a real fine sense of humor.
It's like the doll that fellow had with him.
It's the same doll. Notice that little nick out of its forehead? That happened when he dropped it on the floor.
What are we going to do with it?
I don't know.
We can keep it, I suppose.
Well, let's get back to the game.
No, I'm not in the mood now. You know, Emery, I can't help but remember what he said.
The man who died?
Yes. He said I must have the doll for the dance tonight. Or the old woman will be angry.
Yes, that's right. What brought that back to your mind?
The woman who delivered this package.
We put the lid back on the box and left it on the kitchen table with the cards we'd been using. Neither of us entered the kitchen again that evening. We went to bed a short time after 12. Again, I was restless and couldn't sleep. I had the same feeling I'd had that night in the cabin. And I remembered the words I'd heard spoken in that unearthly little voice. And I wondered if I'd only imagined those words, or whether they had actually been uttered by the creature in the box in the other room. It was then I heard it, like a thin, reedy piping. It sounded like music, a rhythmic, discordant melody I'd never heard before. And then, I heard another sound.
Henry?
Yes?
Am I going crazy?
I hear it, too. I think we'd better see what it is.
All right. I don't like this, Emery.
It sounds
like... I know what it sounds like. Emery! Oh.
I can't believe my eyes.
The box is open. And the little doll, Emery. It's moving. It's dancing on the table.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Dance of the Devil Dolls.
Charles and I couldn't believe our eyes, for the scene before us was as bizarre and fantastic as the wildest dream of an insane imagination.
It's moving. It's dancing on the table.
Yes, I see it.
There's something that... I'm going to destroy that thing.
Be careful. Look out, Chuck. It's running.
I'm going to get it if it's the last thing I do.
It's running over toward the window.
It's gone. Gone through the glass.
Maybe it's down there on the sidewalk.
It's possible, but that's a two-story drop.
I can't see it.
No, Emery. It's gone.
He turned again to the old woman.
The man who had died had mentioned a name that night in the cabin. The name of Dr. George Kaltman. Now it came back into my mind. Kaltman was associated with occult research. If Kaltman could have helped the man who died, perhaps he could explain what was happening to us. We got in touch with him and made an appointment for the following evening.
You have told me everything that has happened. Is that correct, gentlemen?
Yes, everything.
We'd like to know what it all means.
Well, I shall explain it to you as best I can. Have either of you ever heard of envoûtement?
No.
Not that I recall.
Well, envoûtement is the practice of making little dolls to resemble a hated enemy, and then methodically injuring or destroying it, thus bringing about either pain or death, or both, in the doll's human counterpart.
Dr. Kaltman, this doll we saw last night, it moved, it danced.
I know. What you witnessed last night was the dance of the devil dolls.
You say these dolls bring about pain or death, Dr. Kaltman. Why should we be singled out?
The man who died told you about the old woman. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Therefore, you must be destroyed. She feels that you are dangerous to her, that you know too much. Undoubtedly, the woman you saw last night, Mr. Hunter, was the manipulator, controller of the little figures. Since you saw her, she has probably made little figures of both of you. But before it will live and be subject to her will, she must have a part of you, a lock of your hair, a fingernail clipping, anything that will make yours and the doll's identities one and the same.
What should we do?
Go back to your apartment. I shall return with you. She will send the little doll back to your apartment tonight. I'm sure of that. We must capture the doll, for it is the only thing that will lead us to her.
Kaltman, Charles, and I returned to our apartment and took up our vigil in the bedroom, for that was the place the doll and the old woman would expect us to be. We made dummies of the extra blankets and arranged the bed so it looked as if we were sleeping.
You left the apartment door unlocked?
Yes.
But why? It only makes it easier for it to enter.
That is what we must do. One way or the other, the doll would find means of entrance. If not tonight, then another. You have no idea what those little creatures are capable. Listen. It is coming. Be quiet. Wait until it is in here. Then close the bedroom door and put on the lights.
We understand.
Now, quiet. Now! Catch it quickly!
There it is, over there.
This time it won't get away.
Don't let it get near the window!
I've got it!
Quickly, put it in here!
Ah, there. We have it.
Now, what do we do?
This doll will lead us to the doll woman.
You mean now? Tonight?
Yes, Mr. Ryerson. She will know that we have captured her little messenger if it does not return in a few hours, and she will be prepared to stop us. We must find her, destroy her if need be, before she has a chance to destroy you.
Then began one of the strangest sights I've ever seen. Kaltman took the doll out of the box in which we'd imprisoned it, tied its arms and legs while it writhed and twisted in his hand. Then he began speaking to it.
Here's my...
softly, rhythmically, slowly putting it into a hypnotized sleep. The eyelids of the little figure finally closed, and it was in an hypnotic trance.
Sleep and tell me. Now, listen to me. You must tell me where your mistress is. You must tell me where your mistress is.
The house. The house of dolls.
The house of dolls.
That's a strange answer.
Not so strange, my friends. I know what it means.
What is it?
She's a diabolical person, this doll woman. The house of dolls is a toy shop with rare and unusual dolls. What better place to hide? No one would suspect what was behind those burning eyes of hers. I myself have purchased dolls for my little granddaughter from her. We must go there immediately. We have no time to lose. This is the place.
Let's go.
Right. It's past two. There's no one on the streets.
Oh, it's a better. Try the door.
It's open.
Probably waiting in the rear of the shop for the creature she sent out.
Well, let's go in.
As quietly as possible. We must catch her by surprise.
All right. There's a light coming from beneath that door back there.
That is where we must go.
Listen.
It is the dance of the devil dolls.
The door's ajar.
They're in there. I can see them.
Yes, so do I. Be quiet.
And soon, my children, you will be joined by two others. And then, no one can harm you. For when the new doll returns, he will bring with him what I need for the spell of the dancers.
We must take her now.
And they will join you in the dance of the devil doll.
Now!
What are you doing here?
We have come to stop you.
Look out, Bolton! She has a gun!
So have I!
She is dead. She will cause no more harm.
Seems strange to see those little creatures on the floor. All of them so quiet and still. And just a short while ago...
They were participating in the dance of the devil dolls.
Yes.
Do not feel pity for them, Mr. Hunter. The dolls did not really live. They were a creation of evil, sparked by the malevolence of the old woman. When she died, they died with her. Perhaps the humans they resembled will rest quietly now.
The secret of the devil doll is as old as man. It is lost now, but it will be found again. Then, once again, you will hear the dance of the devil doll.
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out crypticcountypodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story...
That's what ought to happen next.
It did.